Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Today is that Easter day when we celebrate that Christ is risen. It's hard for me to believe that Easter is already 2 weeks in the past. I don't know about you, but I still have kids at home. And one of the things we did this past Easter is usually we just have Easter baskets that each of our four kids find. But this year, we did an indoor Easter egg hunt where we took eggs and we put them throughout the house. And some of the eggs were in plain sight. Others, you had to look a little bit more. But one of the things that I enjoyed about that Easter is I followed a couple of my kids around. And there were some eggs that they were right there hidden in plain sight. But did my kids see them? Nope. They either saw one past it or they ran right by it. But they didn't see some of the eggs that were hidden in plain sight. They had to go back, or one of the other kids came around and saw this egg hidden in plain sight. And so today, as we talk about Easter, there's something about Easter, there's something about the resurrected Jesus that sometimes Jesus is there, but we feel that he's hidden. Jesus is there. Jesus is alive, but we don't always feel it. And so sometimes, if you're like me, there are moments in our lives where things happen, and you're looking for God. You're looking for answers. You're looking for the answers to the question, why? And so my question today is when you're looking for God, where do you look when he feels hidden, when you can't feel his presence? And I think for us, these two disciples on the road to Emmaus will offer us insight on the Jesus who comes and walks alongside of us in all the paths and all the events of our lives. For the disciples, if you were to try to put yourselves in their shoes, from our text today in Luke chapter 24, the last time that they had seen Jesus, they saw Jesus being put into the tomb. They saw Jesus who had died on the cross, wrapped in his dead body, placed in the tomb. That was their last vision, their last sight, their last frame of mind of thinking about their Savior. It was a dark day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Well, our disciples, they have to get back to their everyday life. And so they're walking back to Emmaus. And while they're walking back to Emmaus, they're talking about all of these things that have happened. That's what the gospel says in Luke chapter 24. But then suddenly, while they were discussing this together, Jesus himself drew near and he went with them. But there's something about the scripture that boggles my mind. These were disciples. They were followers of Jesus. And yet their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And I think that that's so important because there are times in our lives where God allows himself to be hidden. Where we encounter a hidden Jesus. He's there. He's walking. He's with us. But we don't sense it. We don't feel it. We don't always see it with our eyes. So was Jesus walking with those disciples? You bet he was. Did the disciples know who was walking next to them? Nope. They had no idea. Because for whatever reason, God wanted to work in a way in their life, not just with their eyes, but with their heart. Get that? God didn't want the disciples just to see Jesus with their eyes. He wanted to see Jesus with their heart. And so Jesus asked the men, what were they talking about? Why were they so sad? And the disciples explained, well, this is all about, we're talking about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet. Do you think they believed before Jesus died that he was just a prophet? Do you think that they believed that Jesus was just a prophet? Or was he more than that? Was he God's son, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that they were waiting for, the one that they had placed their hopes in? But now after Jesus was dead, it's just just a prophet. Because that's what happened to all the other prophets. They died. They were killed. Even though Jesus had this power, he couldn't be the Son of God because he died. You see, Jesus was handed over to the chief priests. The rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. And at the heart of what the disciples were discussing, they said, We hoped that Jesus was going to be the one to redeem Israel. I think this is some of the times when God is most hidden, when we get wrapped up with our own expectations, when we get so in our own mind of what we think should happen, sometimes we miss God, and we miss what he's doing in our hearts, in our lives, and this world. Instead of opening and seeing Jesus and believing in his word, we want what we want. We seek the things of our own desires, not pursuing God. And so in some regards, the eyes of these two disciples were closed. They didn't understand the mission and the work of Jesus. They didn't understand why Jesus had to die. Not only that, but the disciples told Jesus that earlier that morning, there were some women who went to the tomb, and when they got to the tomb, they saw angels who said that Jesus wasn't there, that he had risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And yet, it was just the testimony of women. that for men in that day, that really wasn't worth a whole lot. And so these men are like, but we haven't seen him. We can't believe it till we see him ourselves. And they're still wondering. What about you? Are you wondering? Are you wondering, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus when you're out of work? Where is Jesus when you're stuck at home, either all by yourself or with a house full of kids? Where is Jesus when you experience loss and death? Where is Jesus when you can't understand and all of your hopes aren't being fulfilled? Have you ever wondered, where is Jesus? I want to ask you this question today, as maybe you're wrestling with that. If you're a Christian, if you've been following Jesus for a while, I'm sure you can look back and be thankful for so many things. And so my question for you today is, you're wondering where Jesus is. Are you being selective right now with what you're remembering? Are you being selective of just remembering how God hasn't provided what you wanted? Or are you remembering all the ways that God has been faithful, that God has provided for you? As we confessed earlier in the first article of the Apostles' Creed, that God has provided all that I need to support this body and life. God is a good God. God is a God of mercy and of love. God is with us always, even to the very end of this age. And out of his great love, what has God done for you and for me? He sent Jesus. Jesus to die on the cross, to take away our sins, to give us an enduring hope, a hope that will not disappoint because it's based and grounded on Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said to his disciples, and I think he says to us too, as we wonder where he is, "Oh, foolish ones, oh, you foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken." And then Jesus went on to explain, "Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Jesus explained to the disciples that Jesus came as the suffering Savior. When you think of Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, you get this scripture in the Old Testament that points to the Savior who must suffer to carry the sins of this world, who would suffer to be the Messiah, the one that God had promised. And just as Jesus suffered, we are his followers, we shouldn't be surprised when we suffer too. But we must have this confidence that even in the midst of our suffering, God is at work and God has a plan and God is with us. And so I love what Jesus did. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted them all the scriptures, all the things that the scriptures said concerning who? Concerning Jesus. Concerning Jesus. He started with Genesis and talked about how God promised that an offspring of Eve would crush the serpent. How God promised Noah that even though he crushed the world, that he'd never do it again. God promised Abraham that he would be a father of a great nation and all the world would be blessed through him. God promised through Moses and the people of Israel that from them they would be a light to all the nations. God promised David that a son would be born from his line, his ancestors, that would be a king of kings who would rule forever. And Jesus explained how he must also be the suffering servant, the one who by his wounds we are healed. And so, my friends in Christ, when you can't see Jesus, where do we look? We look to the scriptures. So I'm going to say, when you can't see Jesus, can you say, look to the scriptures? All right. When you can't see Jesus, look to the scriptures. When you can't feel Jesus' presence, where do you look? You look to the scriptures. And I think that's what Jesus wants us to see. He wanted his disciples not just to see Jesus in the flesh, but to hear about him in the scriptures, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies that point to Jesus. And finally, Jesus ate a meal with them. They got to where they were going. And how did they recognize Jesus? He took the bread, he gave thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. The same thing he did at the Lord's Supper. And when Jesus did this, their eyes were open and they recognized him. And as they thought about this experience, they said this, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on that road and opened the scriptures to us?" Did you get that? It wasn't about their eyes being open, but their hearts burning with insight about the scriptures. That Jesus was the fulfillment of the scriptures. That the Old Testament was all about pointing that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, who would save us and rescue us from our sins. That when we turn to Jesus, we are saved. When we trust in him, we receive life. When we look to Jesus, we have everything. And so, my friends in Christ, when you can't see Jesus, where do you look? You look to Scripture. And not only do we look to Scripture, but we also look to the resurrection. We remember that Jesus isn't dead, but the tomb is empty. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So I want to challenge you. I can't leave you this week without a challenge. I want to challenge you to make sure you're in God's Word, especially during this coronavirus when there are so many things that are stressing us out and anxiety and so many things we can't control. This is the time when we need to look to the Scriptures. And so I'm going to give you three resources today that you can just do starting right now, today or tomorrow. Pick up your portals of prayer and use that. This is a resource that Lutherans have been using for many years. Do that. If you have it, make sure you're reading that. If you don't know where to start in the Bible, start in the Gospels. Read through the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then read through them again. Come and experience Jesus Christ and walk with him while he walked on this earth. One of the things that I have been using is I've been using the Bible app. It's given by a church. It's free, and it has many different plans that you can read. So I'm reading through the Bible in the year with a couple chapters of the Old Testament, a little bit of the Gospels, one a part of the Psalms, and a little bit from Proverbs. And so find a way to be in God's Word. It's going to lift up your soul. It's going to encourage your heart and fill you with the Spirit of God. One last story. Have you guys ever seen the movie The Sixth Sense? All right. The Sixth Sense is one of those movies that has one of those endings that you can only watch it twice. The first time to kind of get to the end and go, whoa, and then the second time you see all the clues that are pointing to the reality. And, you know, I don't want to ruin the movie for you, but it was put out in 1999. If you haven't seen it, all right, I'm going to ruin the ending. All right. Sixth Sense. Bruce Willis is about a boy who sees dead people. And the whole premise of the movie is that Bruce Willis is dead. And so if you watch through the whole movie, it reveals it at the end. And if you watch it the second time, you see all these signs that point that Bruce Willis, his character, a child psychologist, is dead. Well, for us as Christians, when we get to the end of the story, Jesus' resurrection from the tomb, everything points to the fact that Jesus is alive, that he has risen, that Jesus has come back from the dead, and this changes everything. And as we look at the Bible, we read the Old Testament through the lens of the empty tomb, that because Jesus has risen, he is who he said he was, God's Son, the Messiah. And his promises continue today. He is with us always, even to the very end of this age. Today, may your eyes be open. May your heart be burning with the knowledge that Jesus is risen for you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.